This episode of Cut the Clutter is being shot indoors, and you might find over the next several days many also being done indoors. That's not because we don't want to be outdoors or we want to deny you the bird song and the views and the flowers and the greenery, but that's because this is peak summer in Delhi. It's much too hot outside. It's so hot that sometimes even the phone complains, phone that's recording this, after 10-15 minutes you see a big red angry thermometer in the middle and it says too hot to record, and you have to bring the phone inside, give it air conditioned comfort. So we thought that when it's really so hot outside, given the timing of the day, it's better to give the phone the comfort of air conditioning and by deny yourself the same comfort also, which is the reason why we are indoors today. Now the issue we are talking about today is something that, let me try and explain to you by asking you a question. Do you know a lover's tiff? The more two people love each other, two persons love each other, or the closer friendship two persons have, the tougher the breakup and the tougher the sense of letdown. Ye tune mere saath kya kiya? How could you have done this to me? So that leads to, so stronger the friendship, stronger the alliance, stronger the love, the more cruel the breakup or a sense of letdown. And then when you find that who you think loved you and who you think you loved, or where you shared a mutual love and commitment, is looking at somebody else or is inclined towards somebody else or is being friendly to somebody else, then you get really furious. And for that, in fact, Sahirul Dhyanvi wrote a song in a 1963 film, Dilhi To Hai. And this is a song sung in Mukesh's voice by Raj Kapoor. Many in my generation would remember, but many others also, because it's one of those evergreen songs. And this is Raj Kapoor singing to a very radiant Nutan sitting next to Pran, who was usually the other guy, the loser in Hindi movies in the past. And the song is, Tum agar mujhko na chaho to koi baat nahi, tum kisi aur ko chahogi to mushkil hogi. That's precisely what Government of India is saying right now to Twitter. Because all this while, Twitter was central to the way they built their politics, the BJP. From 2008-09 onwards, since Twitter came to India, they were the first to embrace it. And it took the Congress Party and rivals a long time figuring out how important a medium it was. They were, I would say, even slower than me. I only joined Twitter just about, in fact, exactly 7 years ago, give or take a week. But Congress and the opposition parties took even longer than that. They were lazier than me. So BJP had the run of the play. And the BJP ran a lot of their politics, a lot of their campaigns, including all the anti-corruption campaign. Aam Aadmi Party then joined in, and I said quite often that Aam Aadmi Party was the only party in India which could match BJP's game on Twitter. Nevertheless, Twitter was BJP's instrument or vehicle to success. In fact, rather than give you such a long explanation, I can just repeat to you what Uddhav Thackeray, the Maharashtra Chief Minister, just now said. He said that Twitter, his words, not mine, Twitter was the soul of BJP's politics. Now they are turning angry with Twitter because they think Twitter is being used by others also, and Twitter is now being more effectively used by others. So what was their own vehicle or their own weapon is now turned on them, and that is what's getting them angry. That's why, Tum agar mujhko na chaho to koi baat nahi, it doesn't matter if you no longer love me, tum kisi aur ko chahogi to mushkil hogi, but if you show affections to somebody else, that I will find very difficult to accept. And that is precisely what's happening between the BJP government right now, Modi government, and Twitter. So what's happened is that in February, BJP government came up with a bunch of new orders. These are not laws, these are orders. And these are orders that are in a way, applicable to some sections of the already existing Information Technology Act. They do not amend the act. This is not a new law. These are orders. Now, these orders basically said that you have to make certain disclosures. You have to also have certain corrective mechanisms. I will come with the detail of that. When this happened, Google and Facebook both said, all right, we'll do something in the course of time. They did not contest it and looked like they wanted to go along with it. And I think they are doing some stuff in that direction. WhatsApp, on the other hand, which is owned by Facebook, because WhatsApp, the essence of WhatsApp, the unique selling proposition, the USP of WhatsApp is confidentiality. That is encryption. That's why all WhatsApp communication, it says, is end-to-end encrypted. I can tell you that those who want to really find out can de-encrypt it. So don't say anything that you really don't want your teacher to hear, or your parents to hear, or your children to hear, or your employer to hear on WhatsApp. All this is said sort of metaphorically. You can substitute each one of these: teacher, older sibling, employer, spouse, for whoever you imagine. Nevertheless, so WhatsApp, the essence of WhatsApp is encryption. So WhatsApp immediately went to court, because these new regulations also required WhatsApp to de-encrypt if the government or the security agencies wanted to trace the origin of a message or a conversation. So you will get an order from the government, Ministry of Home Affairs, Ministry of Home in every state, then IG, DGs, IGs, DIGs, sort of empowered by them, and then SPs and whoever, to say, I want this message traced, kisne bheja tha, I want this message traced, kisne bheja tha. And then WhatsApp will be de-encrypting. They didn't want that, so they went to court. That case is going on in the court, and government of India is fighting back quite hard, because they are saying freedom of speech cannot be 100%. There are limits. Of course, they come with the arguments of national security, etc., etc., etc. Twitter, on the other hand, Twitter decided to fight back, in the sense that Twitter decided not to comply with these requirements. And I will tell you what these requirements are, and I will tell you what's at stake. What's at stake is not whether government of India is permitting Twitter to continue working in India or not, or banning it. A ban is not on the cards yet. What is at stake is something called safe harbor. What is safe harbor? Safe harbor is Section 79 of Information Technology Act. Now, when we publish something on the print, when the editors of the Hindu publish something in their paper or on their website, when NDTV publishes something either on their website or on their TV channel, when the Hindustan Times, Tribune, Anand Bazar Patrika, Malayala Manorama, Lok Satta, Jan Satta, Dainik Bhaskar, Jagran, any of these organizations, Republic, Times Now, any of them, when any of these organizations publish something on any of their platforms, they are editorially liable for what they publish. So liability comes in terms of all the laws of the land. That includes laws that you may not like very much, but all the laws of the land, including defamation, contempt of court, sedition, such as it is, although Supreme Court has kept on reading it down. But all those laws you are then exposed to, and you are liable for, because you are editors. And who is liable? So there are two kinds of liability. There is primary liability, there is vicarious liability. So you will find that many newspapers, if you go back to their print line, one, the print line is getting smaller and smaller, particularly say with the Times of India Group's newspapers. But the print line would tell you, so and so is responsible for selection of news under the PRB Act. Now, PRB Act defines who is primarily responsible for publishing something. What that is meant to do is, and usually you will find the person named there is not the most prominent person in the organization. That is to protect editors-in-chief, CEO, others from what is primary responsibility, which means appearing in the court every time somebody files a case of defamation. So what happens is that the primary responsibility lies with the printer publisher. The editor, which in this case would be the person defined under the PRB Act, and also the reporter. And that liability will then be total. And then editors in chief, or hyphenated editors, managing editor, executive editor, or others will then have vicarious responsibility to say that, look, I don't know what's going on, it's a large organization. And the court will say, no, but at the same time, if a driver is driving and somebody is unfortunately run over, so a driver has the primary responsibility, but because you own the car, you also have vicarious responsibility, which may not be criminal, but if it comes to compensation and all that, your driver will not pay. So it's complicated. But the fact is that we as editors are liable. The question that arises is, when Facebook publishes something, when YouTube publishes something, when Twitter publishes something, or when any other platform publishes something, who is liable? Who is accountable for what gets published? So there is a globally accepted principle of free speech, that these platforms are not editorial platforms. They do not employ any editorial judgment on indiscretion that people like us do when we have our own publications. And that's how we put our hands up and say, I am responsible for what I publish. But these platforms are dumb not in a value judgment, but dumb technology platforms where anybody publishes anything. They don't have an editor deciding what's good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong, what's abusive, what's non-abusive, what is accurate, what is not accurate. Leave that to journalism. Now, Section 79 of IT Act is actually in consonance of the spirit of free speech. It says that any platform that is publishing such information, news, comments, opinion, videos, anything, which it is not creating itself, it's all third party. Shekhar Gupta writes a tweet on Twitter, right? That is the responsibility of Shekhar Gupta in terms of what is written on Twitter, not Twitter's responsibility. Just to make a distinction for you, even if somebody writes a letter to the editor in a newspaper, even when somebody publishes an advertisement in a newspaper or any publication which has editors, then the legal responsibility for defamation, contempt, etc., comes to the editor, printer, and publisher. And I will give you a real life example. There was an advertisement in the Indian Express when I was editor there in the Ahmedabad edition of, or Gujarat editions of Indian Express. We used to publish then from Vadodara as well then. There was a full page ad from somebody, an anti-Medha Patkar activist, who made many allegations against Medha Patkar and Narmada Bachao Andolan, and that is something that we were at odds with editorially. We were critics of Narmada Bachao Andolan and Medha Patkar, and we were supporters of Narmada Dam. But this was an ad. This was ad was defamatory. This ad is not something that we would have published as news. Right, but this was an ad, it came through the ad department, nobody saw it, it got published. So Medha Patkar filed a case against us for defamation, and we saw it and we accepted. We did not let it go for trial or any litigation, because when you make a mistake, put your hand up and say, I'm sorry, I messed up, I'm making amends. And we made amends, we withdrew the ad, we apologized, we got done with it. So we have that responsibility. But today, if somebody puts up an ad like that for free, I mean, because on Twitter you can put anything for free, take a screenshot and put it there, who will Medha Patkar sue? And particularly if that ad is put up under an anonymous handle. A lot of handles just have numbers, a lot of handles just have names that don't exist. Some handles even pick up names from some well-known characters of some familiar or popular novels. One of them actually keeps attacking me also all the time personally, sort of in a Goebbelsian manner, so I won't find out who the person is. So when that is done, then where does Medha Patkar, or in case I want to take any action, who do I sue? Because then I will go to the platform and say, bhai, I know that you are not accountable, you have protection under this safe harbor section 79, which says that you are not liable for anything that is published on your platforms because you are not publishers. But because I don't know who this person is, and this person is maligning me, sending threats to me, taking my sleep away, or telling lies about me or about my organization or about something, or spreading pseudoscience about medications, drugs, it's dangerous. Who do I take action against? Give me the person's identity. Does the platform then have the responsibility to do that or not? Or does the platform that say, I don't know. I'm just a dumb technology platform. I provided it. People put stuff on it. Mujhe kya pata kaun hai? But I will keep total confidentiality. I will not tell you who the person is, no matter what the law in your country. So that is the crux of the problem. What government of India is now saying is, what's at stake is this, that either you comply with the new regulations that we are setting up in this order, or if you don't, we'll take away the protection of Section 79 of IT Act, which means you lose your safe harbor. So you are then exposed to all the legal action that Shekhar Gupta is for everything that is published on the print.in, no matter even if it goes on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, etc., etc., etc. That is where the dispute is, that all third-party information, if you want immunity from prosecution of any kind as per the global free speech commitments, then you comply with the regulations we are laying out. So far, so good. What are the regulations? That's where trouble begins. So regulations, or let me say, however, number one, some key positions have to be created by every such platform. One is a resident grievance officer, a nodal officer, who has to respond to any grievance from anybody within 24 hours and provide a redressal within 15 days. Then it can be escalated if the complainant or aggrieved party does not find a redressal. Then there has to be chief compliance officer for the organization, for Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, everybody. Chief compliance officer who has to always ensure that the platform is fully compliant with the Indian Information Technology Act, right? Which means these regulations are being followed. Then it goes on to say, and this is where it gets trickier, that these officers have to be residents of India. They can't be living overseas. They have to be residents of India. They have to have addresses in India. Their real addresses have to be given, made public. The Twitter India office address has to be made public, and that is what we will deal with comments, not back home someplace, whether it's Twitter or Facebook at Menlo Park, etc. Then all these officials will now have personal liability, criminal and civil, and in this case it becomes personal primary liability, because they are like printers and publishers, so not vicarious. So you can't say, I wasn't keeping an eye, I don't know what was going on. Maybe I'm vicariously responsible, but not primarily. But they have primary responsibility, and under IT Act, it's quite tough. Under IT Act, a violation, particularly chief compliance officer, if the platform is seen to be not compliant with IT law, can be sent to jail for 7 years. Then you go ahead. Then these regulations also give the government some powers. It gives the government the powers to demand that either a post should be taken down, that is deleted, or an account should be frozen or discontinued if, one, it is invasive of personal or bodily privacy or gender harassment. Number two, if it's patently false and misleading, but appears to be fact. Now, jokes apart, first of all, who will decide what was patently false and misleading, but appearing to be fact? Some inspector will decide. So let me give you an example. This meal was so good that I died and went to heaven, right? Now, obviously, I don't mean I died and went to heaven. Oh, this mango, you know, everybody talks of Langla and Chausa, but say this Banganpalli or Hammam, mango was so good, I ate it and I thought I died and went to heaven. I did not die and I did not go to heaven. So this was not meant to be a fact, but it was fake news. It was false news. What is to stop an inspector from tomorrow from saying this is meant to be fake news, right? I'm exaggerating, but I'm just giving an example because that's one way of understanding it. Or it goes on to say that you can also be asked to take down anything which is false with an intention of causing injuries or to profit, or then it says it's obscene or against morality. Now, against morality, suppose you said on Twitter, and I think in one day I see this maybe in 100 times. No shit. This is full of shit, right? You see it on Twitter, so I'm also saying it. I don't have to pixelize it or put dot, dot, dot or stars there. If I say that, is it obscene? Is it not obscene? Is it printable? Is it not printable? We'll not print it on the print usually, right? Not normally. But on social media, you will use it. Is it morally right? Again, it's a call that an inspector will take. And that is what these organizations then worry about, Twitter, etc., that this gives the government or some inspector power to demand that this will be taken down within 36 hours, or such an account can also be suspended or blocked within 36 hours. And if that doesn't happen, then your platform, then other consequences can visit your platform, because then your chief compliance officer is held responsible for not ensuring that the organization is IT compliant. So that becomes problem. Then it goes on to say that all deleted and discarded posts by all those whose accounts the government, the powers that be, have asked you to block or cancel, all deleted and discarded posts of, first of all, of anybody, have to be stored for 180 days if they want to go back and check. But even your, if an account has been cancelled, anything the account tweeted, posted over the previous 180 days has to be stored by the platform and should be available to the authorities if they want to check. Then it says that any request, small comfort, any request to block accounts or take down any posts have to provide justification on grounds of sovereignty, decency, morality. I told you, oh, decency, morality, incitement. Now, what is incitement? Frankly, if you apply all this, that is decency, sovereignty, chalo theek hai, ek taraf chhod dijiye, nobody should mess with that, but decency, morality, incitement, false with the intention of causing injury or profit, invasion, invasive of personal or bodily privacy. I am called takla 100 times in a day. I know it's not private, but it is meant to, and I don't take it as an insult, because I have 00 insecurity about who I am. People offer me free hair transplants, and I tell them half jokingly that, look, I think you will make me look a lot better, but what if my dogs and cats refuse to recognize me then? So let me be as I am. But the fact is, this is used, these are expressions that are used as insults. You fat so and so, you ugly so and so, you so and so. So invasive of personal bodily privacy, gender harassment. Look at the number of women journalists in particular and others who suffer gender harassment, rape threats on social media, patently false and misleading, but appearing to be fact. Now, if you apply all these principles, I can tell you that 90% of the posts on Twitter will have to be taken down, because 90% will not pass the high test of these conditions. So then it will become like a little discourse, or maybe a gazette notification of Government of India. That can't be the intention. So that is where these complications are. Now, with Twitter, the 3-month period in which it had to comply ended in May 26, and we know that now the Government of India has written one more. Again, it's a lover's note. Please, 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 meri baat to maan jao yaar. I don't want to take action against you, but why are you forcing me? Itni baat to meri maan jao, right? And I will tell you the flowery language they use in a minute. But what is it that they're complaining about? They are saying that, one, your compliance officer you've appointed is not your employee. It's a partner at a law firm that works for you, not the same as your employee. Second, the nodal officer you've appointed is not your employee, is also a partner at a law firm that works for you. The address that you've given for these officers is not of the Twitter office. It is of their law firm's office. That doesn't come for us. And a chief compliance officer has not yet been appointed. That is also unacceptable to us. And it goes on to say, this is one last notice, comply or lose your safe harbor. It does not say comply or we'll shut you down. It says comply or lose your safe harbor. Then it says that, look, people who are using your platforms, or people who are exposed to your platforms, they cannot be denied the protection of Indian defamation law, defamation, contempt of court, sexual harassment, all these laws. So far so good. And then it uses a beautiful line, and I now understand how people crack UPSC, because they must be writing these lines in their essays. It says, Twitter Inc. is in the inglorious bracket of refusing to do so even when mandated by law. Bring out my violence, somebody. Right? It is such an appeal from the heart, a real cry from the heart, cry de cuor ke, please, 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 meri baat maan jao. Now, you can also see where the government is coming from and what has caused some of this aggravation. One, as always happens, these platforms become instruments with the underdog ultimately. So while the top dog tries to use them, has more power, but underdog is empowered by these. That's a reality. And today, the opposition or critics of Modi government, many activists, agitators, journalists, opinion leaders, they are using it very effectively. And if you just see data, they are getting a lot more engagement than the establishment, because it is the same old establishment, anti-establishment, non-establishment equation. That is what was happening before 2014, when BJP, Aam Aadmi Party, etc. were getting much greater engagement here than, say, the ruling party. Not that the ruling party was trying very hard then. But other provocations that have happened are, one, Sambit Patra, the BJP spokesman, his posts on the so-called toolkit of the Congress party, these were marked manipulated media. Second, blue tech ticks mysteriously were taken away from Vice President of India, from RSS chief, and from many others. These were seen as insults by the government, and how can a tiny corporation thumb its nose at us like that? Mind you, at the same time, that same tiny corporation had listened to the government, blocked 52 accounts that government wanted blocked during the farmers' agitation, the peak of the farmers' agitation. But at the same time, they also reported and made public the fact that they had received a request to block the account of cartoonist Manjul, which brought embarrassment to the government. Now, if you ask me philosophically, I have to ask a question. There was a time until the other day when India wanted a place on the top table in the world. India still wants a place on the top table of the world. National Nuclear Suppliers Group, permanent membership of the Security Council. Suddenly, this has been now whittled down to India complaining about who has the blue tick, who does not have the blue tick. So, the battles you pick defines your stature and who you are and where you are. That is one thing. But the second thing also for Twitter, you can't have it your way, both sides. So are you a publisher? Are you not a publisher? Are you an editorial platform? Are you just a technology platform? Obviously, the answer is we are just a technology platform. If you are a technology platform, how did you take down Donald Trump's Twitter account? How do you take down anybody's Twitter account on your own? How do you call any post manipulated media? How do you block any post or make any post invisible because it does not follow quote-unquote Twitter rules, whether it's for quackery, harassment, whatever. So when you do all that, I'm not saying you should not do any of that. I'm not even saying you should not have blocked Trump's account. But when you are doing that, you are being editors. So you can't be editors and exercise discretion when you want to do so, and you can't claim to be just a dumb technology platform whenever you want to do so. And that is the contradiction that many of the social media platforms, particularly Twitter, need to handle. So once again, we started with the Hindi film song. I will end with the Hindi film song. Padosan, one of the finest comedies made in Hindi cinema. It had that song, Mehmood and Sunil Dutt, in which he says, Ya ghoda bolo ya chatur bolo, dono nahi chalega. You can't be ghoda and chatur at the same time. So similarly, you can't just be a dumb technology platform and holding editor and being editors with discretion all at the same time. That is what has now come under question.